our kids aren't playing down at the road. So if we've got, what are we, we're gonna be turning that into yard, which is again pretty much useless for us because our kids aren't gonna be playing down by the road, especially with how busy Pine Canyon is and how fast people drive on that road, then we're creating two scenarios. Yeah, we've got more yard, which if you're driven by the yard, it doesn't look very good anyway. But as you, and now we're having all the traffic coming by up closer to the garage where people are coming and going. So there's a couple things to be considering there. And regardless if it's my family there or somebody else's family there, it's, there's more traffic coming by. And a lot of that, again, we've been up here 17 years. We haven't had to worry about anything but Pine Canyon. So then to have a road with seven lots and everything going by, it's considerable more traffic on two sides instead of just one side. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
How much is the setback between Tom's property line and where the new road is? I know, I saw that there was a sidewalk, but how?
Yeah, so the right-of-way on the drawing that we were looking at would be right up to the property line. So are you from the edge of the curb maybe to the property line is where you're looking at? So a right-of-way is 56 feet wide for this street.
Okay.
It's a local street. Basically, there's a 5-foot sidewalk and a 5-foot park strip, and then to the back of the curb.
Okay.
That's really 10 feet.
Okay.
Show that to her. She might help her.
Here, you can see this. It looks like the sidewalk is just right up against your garage.
Yeah, that's it. It looked awfully close. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? So. Maybe an additional condition would be to have the developer and Tom kind of talk a little bit more, and maybe with you, Michael, to figure out what the best option is there for the driveway.
Yeah, happy to meet with everybody. Tom, if you'd like to meet, we're happy to meet with you and with the development team over here. So that's agreeable. We can set up a time to do that.
Absolutely. I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
So, we ready to make a motion on this? Anybody?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
Mark Austin, 1065 Homestead Drive. First off, actually, before making a comment here, I just really wanted to thank the Planning Commission and staff for all the incredible work that you're really doing. And I don't think we say it enough, and nor do I think you all realize actually the decisions that we're taking now are generations. There's a couple hundred years of our kids come along that are gonna be living with these decisions that we make. There's a lot of decisions I'm not particularly happy with that have happened in the past that have led to where we are today. But no crying over spilled milk, none of us can do anything about that, but we can about how we're going forward. And so relevant to this proposal, if I understand correctly, we have LaBarge property south of this, that's almost double the amount of acreage. And I believe the approval was for 4 homes on that lot. So my question for the commission and for your consideration is, and again, all due respect for the developer, Tom articulated very well, you know, the scenario with somebody who buys a property and has anticipation of a certain return. But is having 7 homes on this property really consistent with where we want to go as Midway? Jerry Jones, my father-in-law, who passed away in 2017, but had the privilege of, I don't know, was it close to 10 years, Michael, volunteering with the planning commission, or planning department, sorry, with Michael and team. He made the comment once that really shook me to the core. He said, Mark, if Midway develops as it is zoned today, we'll be another Park City. He said, however, I don't think we'll ever get there, and I don't think we'll approve all that is zoned. So, well, this is within the zoning, the R15, the R22, but is it really consistent with where we're trying to go? And that's a tough decision, but you're in the driver's seat. We can't change yesterday, but we can change tomorrow. And so where are we going? Are we going into, now, some would argue that this is not density. I would argue it's higher density. Now, of course, I'm on a couple of acres with one house, but that's more what I like to see in Midway going forward. So anyway, just for your consideration.
Sure, and just to respond to that, we have zoning laws. The developers presented something that's consistent with the zoning in that area, and regardless of how we feel about it, we're only here to make sure that it meets the zoning requirements, and we can't make a decision that if it's consistent with the zoning, we have to go with it.
I would respectfully disagree.
Well.
I think there's a leadership and governance role here, and that could be argued and defended. Yes, you're right, sure. We need to make sure we're within policy, we're not over, but I also think there's a larger, bigger picture role to play here in the Planning Commission.
Yeah, I think that's probably something for another discussion. What's before us now is a specific project, and we're here to just determine whether the project is consistent with our zoning. That's all we can do.
I hear you, but I'm disrespectfully disagreeing. I suggest my comments relevant for this discussion and any discussion going forward.
Yep.
For the commission to consider. You're defining the future of Midway, and it's not having to go back and
some
zoning or policy.
We've done a lot on this commission, and Michael and his staff have done a lot to change code to try to preserve Midway, but what we've got here is what we've got here, and we have to deal with that as it stands. So
yeah, well, yeah, Michael.
Excuse me.
So with that, anybody care to make a motion? Or other questions, or
I motion a continuance on this discussion.
Okay.
With a little bit more information, the developer present more information of specifically of how this lot, this development will interact with the neighboring lot.
Okay.
And maybe even look into options as far as adjusting the placement of that entryway. So I motion that we have a continuance on this particular topic with a little bit more information.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, we've got a motion to continue with a second. Continue for 30 days until our next meeting. Is that?
Yeah, I motion until we've got the information that we need to, you know, get it back onto the agenda and look at it again. Yeah, if that takes 30 days, great. If it takes 60 days, that's okay too, but
okay.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
We have a meeting next month, so yeah. City Council, they're actually right on the election day, and they have their meeting too. So this will be a week after election for Planning Commission next month. So there's a meeting.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Let's have a roll call vote. Or do you want to start?
Aye.
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 Okay, so this is continued till the next meeting, or whenever you're ready to come back with a resolution to these issues that we've been discussing. Item 3, Midway City is proposing a code text amendment that will amend sections of Title 16 of the Land Use Code.
Yep.
The amendments will change the approval process and requirements for land use applications that include single-family dwellings, two-family dwellings, and townhomes. The proposed changes are required because of amendments that have been adopted in the Utah State Code from Senate Bill 174 that was approved in 2023. So, Katie?
Got me on this one.
Okay.
Yes. Members of the commission, members of the public. Mark, you're not going to like my talk on Senate Bill 174. I'll just warn you in advance. Required local governments like Midway to update their subdivision review processes for single-family dwellings, two-family dwellings, and townhomes. And the biggest change that this made was it took city council out of the subdivision review process and basically said that under Utah Code's annotated this section that's cited up here, that Midway must designate a single administrative land use authority. And the land use authority may not be the city council or any member of the city council. And what the state legislature basically said is they wanted to streamline the subdivision review process for single family dwellings, two family dwellings, and townhomes to basically say, listen, cities, adopt codes, and then if something meets your code, you don't really have discretion to say no. So kind of, Jeff, what you just said. So they're taking away any discretion we do have. And they're basically saying, the reasoning that was given during last legislative session was that there were too many delays and it was contributing toward the housing crisis in Utah. I don't know as though we've seen any data to support that this is what was causing a housing crisis in Utah as opposed to many other factors.
Yeah.
But this is what they concentrated on last year and this did pass. With it now. Next one is Wes, if you would. So there will be a two-step administrative subdivision review process, and step one is a preliminary application review. And the new law, well, old law now, but new to us, says that the Administrative Land Use Authority, I'm calling it an ALU for short, upon getting an application, if the application is complete, it has to be reviewed within 15 business days. So basically, if it's not a complete application, you have to deny it because you need to stop the tolling of the days. But upon a complete application, you have 15 days to review it. And then the ALU may receive public comment and conduct one public hearing. But if the application complies with code, it shall be approved. It's not, it may be approved, it may be at your discretion. It shall be approved and proceed to the second step. Any questions on that first preliminary review?
So at the end of 15 days, what?
15 business days.
So what is the outcome of that? Either an approval or a denial or onto the next step?
It's an approval or a denial. It's, you don't really, continuations are not really a thing because you're not going to comply with the time period. So, and in that, we have talked with various legal counsel to say, okay, we're allowed to hold a public hearing within that first preliminary cycle, but what if we can't get to the Planning Commission within 15 business days? What if we can't do this, that, and the other? And basically the guidance we're given is, yeah, that's not really clear in there. So what we're telling our clients is just set it the next time you can and just hold it when you can. So I think this is going to, I'm expecting that this provision of law is going to be amended. A lot of the gaps in it will probably be addressed this legislative cycle, but we're still dealing with what was passed last year.
So preliminary approval will still come before the Planning Commission and